Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Awesome. We want to give a great shout out. I'm going to count to three, and we're just going to scream like we lost our minds for all of our guests that are coming in through all over the world, streaming in. Would you just shout a crazy shout on the count of three to let them know that they're loved? One, two, three. We love you guys. Amen. We are so glad that you're here today. Today is going to be an interesting day because, you know, we've been talking in the series that we've been doing about how God wants to use individual people to do incredible things. Our theme for next year is going to be all about ordinary people experiencing and doing extraordinary things. And that is what God is doing in the midst of us. I've got a testimony that came through this week. One of the young men that came to one of our services, God spoke a word to him and said, and he was a young man that years ago I prayed for him, and he had muscular dystrophy. And when we prayed for him, he was healed right there on the spot. And amen. Amen. This young man became the lead singer for a group called Wage War that travels the world. And he came back home and prayed for him. And I said this word to him. I said, son, where you go, you're going to break great ground. And I said to him, but where you go, you're going to hear the growling of the enemy. Do not be afraid. And his mom came to me today and said, that boy, he said, wherever I go around the world, I can walk into a room and I hear the growling of the enemy in the atmosphere. And I said, you take authority over that. You cast that out, because when you walk in a room, it makes him mad. That's why you hear the growling. God is still on the throne. It's amazing. We were excited. We had another testimony of a young lady that does prison ministry, and she called me and said, the Lord said, I gave the Lord a task. I want to hit 100 people in the prison ministry to be saved. And she said, I asked God, and right now I went in, and we found out that over 100 young women came to Christ already this year. 100 women from prison. It gets better. She said, what should I do? I said, go for 175. Hello, somebody. So she went and said, okay, Pastor. Went out and came back and said, 38 people that next Sunday. Look how God is moving in the midst. It's amazing. Now, this couple here is our dear friends of mine. We're getting to know each other in a wonderful way through our dear friend and beautiful wife, the Remingtons. And they have a ministry. Now, you guys, and I think they'll figure out where you're from when they hear you talk, but you have a ministry. Where is your ministry currently located at?
In Germany, in Arnsberg. It's a little town close to Dortmund. It is north. Up to Frankfurt, like 2.5 hour drive.
2.5 hour drive.
Yeah.
And you guys have been in ministry for how long?
I founded the first church in 91, and the second church I founded in my hometown in 97.
So you are church planters. You guys have planted ministries in that country. How did you guys meet? How did you, I mean, was it, you got to tell me this story. Yeah.
As couple,
yeah,
we both were with Youth with Mission in Switzerland. We have done a DTS, discipleship training school. Yeah, and
disciples and training school. That's what DTS is.
This DTS, genau, DTS disciple training school.
Gotcha.
And then we have 3 months teaching and 3 months outreach in. We were in Kenya.
So they literally teach you for 3 months.
Yes.
And then they send you out that based on what you were taught.
Yes.
That's a short time to go out and do real ministry out there.
Yeah.
Was it scary for you guys?
Yeah.
And so you guys went out and y'all were doing ministry. How did you guys connect with one another?
How? Oh. And the first time, I don't like him.
Really? Hey, ain't no shame. My wife was the same.
Amen.
Go ahead.
He was so strange. There's a goal. I want to reach it.
And he was just one of them straight up and down guys. Yeah. Okay.
That's not my. But after a while, I thought, he could be a nice father. it would be nice to live with him. He takes care of you.
Yeah, yeah. And so how did you find out that she had a thing for you?
We both joined Youth with a Mission. I joined Youth with a Mission in Honolulu.
Okay.
And she, to that time in Switzerland, she was working with it. And we, to that time, there was no internet.
No internet.
The first fax machine we got.
Some of y'all don't even know what that is. When there was no internet.
No internet, no cell phones. The first thing we got on our base was in 88, a fax machine. You know where you put papers in on the other side of the world, it comes out. You know?
Really?
Oh, wow. That was amazing.
Does anybody know what a fax machine is? I don't know.
So when we teach this to our boys, they say, this thing you don't need anymore.
Right.
So, but to that time, we start to write letters. So when you write a letter from Honolulu to Germany or Switzerland, it takes like 4 weeks to get an answer.
Right.
So to that time, we're keeping on writing.
You have a fax in each other?
No.
Yeah, but you are living on a campus base. When a fax come in, everybody knew what he was written.
No!
So now you keep it in secret and you write letters, you know, but it takes 4 weeks to get an answer. And in the end of the year I worked with Youth of the Mission, there was coming an envelope, and on the side there was a printed heart in colors.
Yeah.
And I got the letter and go to my room with my friend where I stay together, and they say, now I have to make serious what is going on.
Right.
Because I know this is a big sign from her.
Yeah,
you know? She wants to know. Yeah. She wants to know what's going on, you know. And
right. And so you guys got married in what year? Oh!
91.
Now, you guys have been in ministry and in Germany. A lot of us have seen ministry here in the States. Is it the same as you would consider how Christianity is exhibited in the States? Is it the same in Germany?
No.
What's one of the differences that you want to
In Germany, the most people belong to the Catholic Church and Evangelic Church. They just born, get baptized, and belonging to it. They have never made a decision. They never heard that God loved them, that they are sinners. They just belong to a church. So 50% of the German public are now belonging to churches, to the Catholic and Evangelic churches.
So
we have state churches,
government churches.
Government church, or it's a little bit different.
What does that mean, a government church?
So it's an official church, and if you are a Christian, you belong to the Catholics or to the Evangelic.
Okay.
And to have a free church like this or a Baptist church, it's totally different. It's not.
No.
It's not government sanctioned.
Not an official church.
So how does that work for churches that are not government sanctioned?
So it's the same church in America. We invite people to give their 10% to the church.
Right.
So they can pay for the house, for the church, or for the pastors.
Right.
So that's a big struggle in Germany also, because the Germans don't know how to do that. They never teach it. So because in Germany, the tax from the government takes up the money for the churches. So you never know what the church is doing with it, because the church is just receiving it and spending it.
Wow.
So it's a totally different system. The Germans never think about that the church needs money, because they pay taxes and the church get the money.
But only for the Catholic or the Evangelic church.
Evangelical church.
Yeah. But not for free churches.
For for churches that are not under
denomination. No Baptist, no Methodist, no Foursquare, no
nothing.
Assembly of God, whatever.
It's so how do you guys survive in that kind of
environment? Trust God.
You have to trust God. Wow.
So actually, in the beginning, the pastors are working to earn money, have families, and especially we also bought and built a house, and then you have the church running, and of course a partnership. So a lot of responsibilities you
and
have
so
to.
So you have a lot of things you have to take care of, but most people don't see church like we see church in the States. See, in the States, we have a heart to give. Because if we don't give to our local churches, they won't grow. And our congregation knows that we are individual members that give to the whole so that we can continue the kingdom. But if you grew up in Germany, that means that, hey, the state pays for it, so I never have to give to God.
Yeah.
Now imagine an entire nation not understanding what happens when you can give to God and He blesses you. Wow.
So when I was first time in America, in Honolulu, and I saw this going on, that Americans really give out and stuff like that. So we visited America a lot of times, and we had an impact in that. Somebody moved from Honolulu back to in the area of New York, and on our honeymoon, we visited them. And it gave me the address. To that time, you don't have a cell phone or something. Right. So we arrived at the house. It was dark. So we knocked at the door. Nobody opened. So we drove away, looked for a cell phone, for a telephone, and we called them in the business. And they say, oh, go in the house. It's open. It was for us. What? They opened the house for us. They have never been at home. Wow. So in the evening late, it was already dark. They arrived from working. Wow. So for us, it was like, wow, the Americans, they really know how to give to people.
Right. They know how to give. Yeah. And that's something that is in our culture, in a giving nation.
Yes. Yeah.
When you're in Germany, what's it like about evangelism? How does that work? Is the response of people the same in Germany when you share the gospel?
It's difficult to say. Especially, I would say, in our area, sometimes it's difficult because normally the people... if you want to give them some for free, you have to be critical. What? For free? It cannot be. So this is also made to evangelize very difficult.
Wow.
Also, in some areas,
gotcha.
I would say, yeah.
Because the people tell you, I belong to the Catholic Church. I don't need another Christianity or something.
They would say, I'm a Christian.
Just because I was born into it.
Yeah.
And so they've never had a decision that I want Jesus in my life. How do you break through that barrier if they think they're already safe? They've already made it in. Now, I'll say this. How many of us grew up Catholic in here? Okay. Now, did anybody else? I grew up Catholic as well. Later went into an all-black church in Tallahassee. Totally different. But growing up Catholic, I thought I was once just because I went to the Catholic Church, I was in. You know, that I didn't have anybody else thought that besides me? And so imagine the lifestyle that you live claiming to be a Christian, but you have no change in your heart. And so you walk around your own nation and you say, yeah, I'm a Christian, and don't know how far away from God you are because you never made a personal decision to let Him be the Lord of your life. So you guys run into that all the time. How do you break through that?
I think the good thing is the love of God and the Holy Spirit will speak to the people. Mm. And so people decided when you speak with them to give their life to the Lord.
So
it takes more time that people stand up and say, yes, I want to be baptized.
Mm.
So in our house, there was living a young couple. We rented out a flat in our apartment, and we just have time with them to spend to play game boards and stuff like that. And so we never spoke about Jesus. And the funny thing is, last year, 2 years ago, they moved away from us to Bavaria to find a new job. And 3 months later, the man called me and said, Randolph, I have to think about my life and to give it to Jesus. 3 months later, we baptized him because he find out when Jesus is reality, he has to give his life to him.
Wow.
And he said, I lived in your house and I could see that the love of God is in you and that you're just not pressing on me. We never spoke about Jesus. He only saw how we live and how he's reached out to other people. We are doing scouts, the Royal Rangers in our town, and he sees it. And his daughter, she was 6, was joining them and coming home and speak with him about what we are doing there with the kids. And to that he was really touched by the love of God. And so we baptized them.
Wow. Now, you see that? That's amazing. Now, when I think of something like that, see, that speaks volumes. See, some people don't know, like, when you have a kids' ministry, that those children can reach the next generation by the change in their life. And see, what you're saying is that what you did in that little girl made such a difference that the father said, I got to change my life because I see the change in my daughter. So if you ever had a heart to work in kids' ministry, please don't hold back your gifting. Plug in and teach a child because it could change an entire generation.
Yeah.
So you guys do you have a church over there, a building?
No.
Tell me how you guys meet in Germany.
We at a school hall, we met for our Sunday service. And like church sometimes is going, we had a lot of members and it's going down.
Right.
And now we are meeting in our house.
Yes.
And it's much more, the people stay longer and we share life. You know, we come together, have worship, then we share a word of God and then we eat together. And normally after church, the people are running home. But now on our table at home, they are sitting 2 hours, 3 hours, we just talking about things, and also people who never would say something at church, they have questions, and so we can answer them.
And then you're actually discipling people at that point.
Yeah, I think the key is have relationship.
Relationship.
Relationship and share the daily life.
Wow. Now, church, I want you to hear why the church was able to start growing again. It wasn't because they were all independent, came to church and left out independent. They became interdependent on each other. In other words, they didn't run away from church right away. They spend time with one another. I want you to think for a second. Who in this church that may not sound like you, come from your background, or may be just like you? When was the last time that you took someone out just to fellowship? See, because there's power in connectivity. See, that's where questions get answered, relationships are born, and Jesus comes in the midst of it to help people like you and I begin to answer those hard questions. Anybody ever had a hard question for God in here? Anybody ever had one hard one? Like a real hard one. Like, yeah. And see, sometimes you got to get around people that have the answers. And that's what the fellowship of the body is all about. Now, your ministry, do you have a name of your ministry over there?
The Bridge.
It's called The Bridge. Why the name The Bridge?
In 2 Timothy, there's written that Jesus Christ is the bridge between the Father and the people.
Wow.
So that you can read in the Bible. So we choose this kind of name to say, we need the bridge between God and us. Wow. That is Jesus Christ.
And that's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
What's the atmosphere like now in Germany? What's the pulse of what's happening there?
We have 3 million refugees in Germany already. That's 3 million is a lot for Germany. We have 81 million people living in Germany only, and 3 million refugees coming in.
Wait a minute. You have how many?
81 million.
And you've got 3 million refugees that's come in.
Yeah.
Wow. Where are they coming from?
Zurich. The most are coming from Zurich.
Zurich?
Yeah, where the war
is. Syria.
Syria. Where? That's in Africa?
Yeah, no. Syria.
Middle East. It's over Israel.
Ah.
Where the war was.
The Middle East.
It's very close to Turkey.
Yeah, well, I would say the most come from Middle
gotcha.
East.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So the most are Muslims.
Yes.
They don't know Jesus. So, and, but more than 1 million already working full-time.
Full-time.
People don't know that because the news never speak about that.
Wow.
That's also to think that we Germans already, through the years, we invited them to stay, they learn the language, and they start to work already in. But the most are here, illegal, they don't get the right to stay longer, so they have to move back.
So they have to go back.
Yes.
And how do you minister to people like that in that short time that they're working in that area? Are you able to reach out to them at all, or how does that work?
I would say a lot of churches do work under with refuge, just we play soccer with them together. Mm-hmm. We select once a week the men who want, because they are living in not so nice houses and don't know what to do. And so once a week, Randolph invites them, we pick them up, and we play soccer together.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
So tell me about that.
The problem is also the language border. The most don't speak, but soccer, they know. So you can start with them. And they have to learn the language by doing something. Ah. So it's very hard to teach them some things. And also we get a lot of people from Africa coming in because they go on this trip also. You heard about it, that they go to the middle, to the Mittelmeer.
Yes.
To the
Mediterranean area.
So we have a lot of mixed cultures already in Germany.
Really?
Yeah. So it's very hard.
And some churches help them with language to know to learn German or how to write and how to live. So in churches are different services how they can support the refuge.
So in your services, you see how we do service here. You know, God does different things in different areas. When you do your services, is there a word? Are you guys leading the ministry to the people that you're ministering to? Is it in the house? Do you have a service? What exactly does it look like?
It's just our living room, and we have a winter garden, so you can just fit in like 40 people already. So, and we just seeking God for a word, and I preach on it, and I tell the people what is going on, what God would like to do in their life, and so that's how it works out.
So it's that part doesn't change.
Yeah.
But right now, is God doing something in particular in the two of you? What is God putting on your heart? Because as Frontierians, we love what God is doing around the world. And we are excited to be able to partner with you guys on what you guys are doing. But what's he put in your heart right now?
I would say since 5 or 6 years, we met with other people to thinking about when you get retired, what we do. Because I think as Christian, there's no retirement. No? Mm. Look at Remick and Richard, they're never retired.
Yes.
So and out of this praying, we start to get a vision or desire to start a living community, to live together, but not only live together, it should be something new, but not really new, you know?
Yes.
To live a community where the people come in and just realize there's something different. Mm-hmm. And this can only happen, and this is where we are going through, if I see Christ in you. You know, I don't can live community when I'm just thinking, oh, what is the benefit for me? Or I like this feeling to be together. I think this is not the key. And so we are now 12 people. Every month we met a whole Sunday to seek the Lord, to worship, and to look, God, what you want to do. Because our desire is not to do something what we want to do, or we think we have a vision. Because I think in our life we already had born, we say, too much Ishmaels and not Isaacs. You know, we want to wait until God says, now go on.
And what she said was that which is a problem in a lot of churches, is that you give birth to Ishmaels, but not Isaacs. If you go back go back to the story, Ishmael was born because Sarai, Abraham's wife, knew that they were supposed to have a son, but she didn't want to wait on the promise. So she let another woman sleep with her man. Y'all ladies, y'all pretty good, because, man, she let another woman sleep with her man. Yeah, that was back in the Old Testament. Yeah, this is the New Testament. Don't do that. Okay. And so they gave birth to Ishmael, which was a child not of the promise of God. But later, by believing God, they gave birth to Isaac. And Isaac was the promise of God. So sometimes we make decisions because we want to do it our way, and ministry goes left because we don't want to wait on God. But if he gave you a word, you wait on God, you seek his face, he gives you a promise, try to make it come to pass. He will make it.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Come to
that's
pass.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
And so being able to trust God if he gives you a word, but this goes back to something you said. You got to seek him. You guys wanted something that wasn't of the flesh. You wanted something that was God. And what did he share with you guys? What is he telling you that he wants you to do?
I think to live together with 12 people, we want invite young people or people, or also our pastors, they are burnt out, so that they can come recovered, back to the ministry. And also we would like to teach young people to listen to God, how to hear the voice of God. Ooh. And step out to do things.
Wow, you teach how to hear the voice of God.
I think this is the main key, to hear God's voice.
Mm. How many in here want to be able to hear God's voice and know it? That's a lot of people. Tell me, in your experience, how do you hear God's voice? What would you say to us if we want to hear God's voice better?
I would say I'm still learning.
Yeah.
I'm sometimes not sure because my inner wishes are sometimes stronger. So it needs wisdom and you can decide. But I would say in the most way God speaks through my thoughts with me. When I think, huh? It's a little bit strange. It cannot be from me. And then I go, yeah, this is the way.
Anybody ever had a thought like that? You're like, why am I thinking that right now of all things? Why am I thinking about this person? And it keeps coming to you, right? And it won't go away until you accept, I'll go do it. Has anybody else had that happen? See, God doesn't speak always through an audible voice. He's a spirit. So he'll speak into your spirit, his will. And sometimes you'll think it's your thoughts. But if it gets you that you can't let it go until you do it, that's how you know God's speaking into your life. Amen? Amen. What else would you do? What else would you suggest?
I know that God is speaking also with a voice.
Yes.
I heard it by myself.
Yes.
The other thing is once in a while, when I pray for people, that's, one word is coming up to my mind. Mm. And I ask these people, does this word mean something to you? And the people say yes. And then I start to listen to God's voice and what he wants to do that.
Wow.
So when we have been in Honolulu, we have been looking for a church, and they make a break during church time to go around and pray with people.
Yes.
And so I just looked around in the crowd and looked around, and I saw a man with a hat.
Yes.
And God spoke, go to him and encourage him. So I was on the way on, and then somebody came up and introduced me to him and stuff like that, and I told him what God told me.
Wow.
So, and I think this is a step to reach out to other people and to trust God that he's speaking through you. And I think it's very good to know what God is speaking.
Yes.
Sometimes it's just short words, just one or two sentences, that's enough. And what I like is just to be short, because then people realize and can take it and they can listen to God.
Wow. Wow. You know how we've been talking over the several weeks, how God has been ministering and how we see life change. But what would you do if God today spoke a word to you, maybe at the grocery store or at home, if he whispered in your ear to do something? Can we commit today to be open to that? How many would be willing to do that? Now, being open to it is one thing. Being obedient to it is another. How many are willing to be open to it? How many are willing to be obedient to it? All right. This is what I want you to do today. Ask God, if there's somebody you want me to minister to, tell me.
And to hear his voice, the basic is to have intimacy time with him.
Explain.
Because if I just go around and ask, here, God, I'm not used to it. I have to be quiet time and listen like to understand like my spouse in private time with intimacy with God, and then I'm used to his voice.
Ah, did you hear that? That's good wisdom. That's good, because in that quiet time with God, it doesn't matter what country you come from, it's still going to take relationship with him. And as that intimate time of prayer and meditation with God is given, then you start to see the difference between his voice and your thoughts. And you start to feel that. Because when you hear the voice of God, it's not only a thought or a word, it's a feeling too. And when you recognize that feeling, then you begin to say, ooh, this is when God speaks to me. This is when he's moving. Now, God is speaking to you guys about going to a particular city. Where is that?
Where we found the first church in 91.
Yes.
We go, because there is a group living around, and we're looking in that area for a big space with a lot of housing and stuff like that.
Yes.
And it's Bochum. It's a town close to our area. It's like an hour drive only.
Yes.
But we're in the holiday area. We have a lot of lakes and hiking places. And this area is there 12 big cities together. There are living 6 million people in one crowd. It's the industry area.
Wow.
So, and because of the other churches there, we want to stay around them.
Right.
To minister to the church and to get involved with the people, and then we have a connection to this other environment.
I would say our main goal would be young people, to encourage to see what God wants to do with them, also should be one main ministry, prophetic words to pray for people.
Wow.
And also to invite people who are burnt out, or special as pastors, sometimes you have not so nice times. Mm. And it would be nice you have a place you
Amen.
Can
rest. Amen, in Germany, y'all remember that.
So that we have different goals and we have still more thoughts, but we are waiting
on God to loose it.
Yeah, and now we are looking for a property, and we have the vision He will give us.
Wow.
So we don't seek.
Gotcha.
Some people say either you are crazy or it's from God. So I would say either it's from God. Huh?
Yeah. So I heard that there's a stronghold in the area you're going. There's a lot of witchcraft in that area. Is that normal? Is that, or is it unique in this particular area?
I would say it's unique in this particular area because a lot of people are together, living together. And in the Second World War, I think it was some also important things with, I can explain it in English, but something happened there. No? What's not good?
Right. And they got involved in the occult.
Yeah.
And it became a part of the culture there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the things we want to do, if there's anything that we could pray for, what could we pray for you guys as a church and your ministry there for the bridge?
I think the main thing is for the bridge that the people are open to hear
the gospel.
And for us, I would say that we are in the right attitude.
Yes.
To receive what God has for us. You know, sometimes we are in the wrong attitude. We think, oh, God, give it this, and we're doing, but we don't want to do it. When we receive it, we say, okay, God, it's from God, and we will do what you were. Sometimes we do things for God.
Right.
And it's a little bit.
Right. So you want to be in the middle of the wheel.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the last word before we pray for you. Is there anything you'd like to share with the church?
Sure. We have been in lots of trouble. And we normally, when you got in trouble, you hide back. You go back. And we know that we had to step in front with God. Mm-hmm. We go to God and He has healed our heart and is still healing it. And I want to encourage you when something is hurting you or people are hurting you, don't step back. Go, pray, look for people that encourage you to go with God.
Mm.
Look for Him, seek Him, and He will cover you.
Mm.
Especially one American guy, I think it's already 10 years ago, he pointed us when we have been in a meeting to us both and say, you are married? And we say, yes. And he say, you are in a thing which covered you together. It's pressing you.
Mm.
And I think it's over for us. It has been 10 years or more, and he took us away from that. And he say, now it's over. You can come out and you can be released. I see the time of release. And I encourage you to look in your heart and look what is in your heart, where somebody hurts you. Maybe somebody is doing something wrong. Fathers, leaders, or also pastors are doing things wrong. I know what I'm speaking from. And so I encourage you, step out for it. Go to a brother or a sister and say, I want to get rid of this. I want to be healed. And I want to go out for you again.
Do you guys hear that? With that being said, I want to pray for this family that's going to do the gospel in Germany. And I would ask that the church would stand to your feet as we pray for them. Would you guys come forward and stand here? We want to bless the two of you. Come on. Right, yeah. Excellent. And we want to cover them. Would you stretch your hands towards this couple? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for our beloved friends here that they are looking for a change. They're looking for impact in the area that they're going. They want to walk in your will. They want to walk in your way. And Father, we pray, God, that you would bless them. Bless them with more than enough. Give them access to favor, to ministries that are there, that they would become friends and not frightened by the, they would not become people that others are frightened by, but let them become kingdom-minded people that bless kingdom-minded people. Father, we ask that you would meet all of their needs, open up every single door, and we pray, God, that you would do it. We as Frontier here in the U.S. don't always understand what they're going through, but Lord, we know your spirit goes before us, and we command the blessing before them that wherever they go, when they walk into that city, whatever demonic stronghold, whatever witches may set up, let their, wherever their feet shall trod, break it down and bring light and life wherever they go. Let their footsteps be full of salt to bring life to the people that are in that area. We will bless them as a church. And God, we know we will hear the great reports happening out of Germany because God, you set it up for people from all over the world to show up where they're going. Now is the time. Now is the season. And God, we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you both. Amen.